again. Good to see you all this morning. It has been a minute since I've had an opportunity to preach the Word of God. I'm grateful for an opportunity to do so at any moment, but especially this moment. The reason I say that is because about a week or so ago, the Lord really started to deal with my heart on a message. And I can almost tell you indefinitely, whenever that happens, there's going to be an opportunity for me to preach. It is just the way He's made me. It is, He knows the desires of my heart. But also, if it's not of Him, I don't want to preach it, plain and simple. So whenever He starts to deal with me like this, I know that there's going to be an opportunity to preach what it is that He's dealt with my heart on. It is much different than my daily reading. It's much different than my study. It's much different than any of that. It's whenever God really starts to give me a burning desire to preach a message that I know He's going to give opportunity. And so last Sunday, I was actually sitting, and Brother Jonathan and I were just talking and discussing some things that had been on my heart, particularly about the message, and not giving him really any insight whatsoever on what that message was going to be or the message this morning was going to be. And on Tuesday or Wednesday, he sent me a message and said, "Hey, brother, I got Wednesday. What do you think about preaching Sunday?" And I said, "I'm supposed to." And he said, "Well, you got it then." So on Thursday, he sends me a Bible study from John Piper, who was a man that I had heard of much and had throughout the Southern Baptist community, he's esteemed highly. And I had actually just this past week started listening to some of his sermons. And Brother Jonathan sends me a Bible study that John Piper recorded on August 2nd of this year, so 2 weeks ago, on the very passage of Scripture that I'm going to preach this morning, which is 2 Timothy 2:10. And I told Brother Jonathan, I was like, "That's exactly where the message is coming from." And he said, "God is awesome." So I want you guys to understand that this man can mess this up. I can stand up here and I can mess up the preaching of God's Word. I can. That's why even in this portion of Scripture, it says rightly dividing the Word of God. That a man that rightly divides the Word of God, he's going to be unashamed. But I want you to understand something before I even begin, is that God worked all things together for good. That He provided a message, I believe, specifically for this church in this hour. Because for me, if I'm being honest with you, as I read through 2 Timothy chapters 1 and 2 explicitly, where it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son." And then in verse 1, chapter 2, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." If I'm being completely honest with you guys, I feel like my own pastor wrote this to me. I feel like the encouragement is there are men of God in this church that need to understand their call. We need to realize exactly what it is that God saved us for. And I don't apologize for the way that He's made me. He's given me the heart of an evangelist. I'm not necessarily a pastor. I don't believe I'm ever going to be in a pastorate. But I do believe, I know for a fact that God has called me to evangelize. It's the gift He has given me. He's allowed me to come to this church for that reason. And I believe it wholeheartedly. It's to strengthen and embolden the body of Christ at Rochdale Baptist Church. Because there are opportunities like this, if you are aware and you are watching, where whenever God allows me to preach, there's a reason. And I say that out of fear. It's a fearful thing. Because I know that I can't fulfill the Word of God that He's called me to preach. I know without His help, I can't do this. But I want you guys to understand something. What I see is God's love for this body. What I see is God does not want us to stay stale. He doesn't want us to stay sitting on our hands, but He wants us to be emboldened. Because you're His. You're a Christian. You name the name of Christ. Literally, the one that created the universe has called you to be heirs. He's given you every privilege, every bit of power that he has. He's given it to you, the resurrection of the dead. Do you understand that? We read over it and we skim over these portions of scripture, but he's given it to you. He's empowered you. He's given you his spirit. And if you haven't felt that, you haven't sensed that, I hope today that there's a stirring amongst the believers. Our text this morning is going to be that verse there in 2 Timothy 2:10, where it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, I'm one of those that I need to build a story in my mind. So I have to get some context behind where Paul is, why Paul's writing it, what he's trying to accomplish, what through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is trying to be accomplished in this portion of Scripture. So if you guys, for just a second, use your imagination, and I know some of us, as we get older, we stop a little bit using that imagination. Now, my children want me all the time to tell them bedtime stories, and Hudson loves to chime in and tell his own version of stories. And I can just imagine what's going on in his mind. So if you guys would, for just a minute, lay down all the inhibitions and just imagine for a moment with me where Paul is when he's penning this letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. He's imprisoned. He's literally facing an imminent execution. He's going to give his life for Jesus Christ. Willingly. Unashamedly. He's going to continue to do the things that God has called him to do. Why? Because he knows without a shadow of a doubt that the things in which he believed are true. He says it. In chapter 1, if I can find it, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The Apostle Paul is unashamed. He is not fearful that he is literally going to give his life for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's in this dark and dreary dungeon. Imagine it. Imagine the smells that come from that. I'm sure they didn't just remove the dead carcasses before or quickly, swiftly after they passed away. They probably sat and rotted in these cells next to him. It must have been damp. It must have been moldy. There must have been standing water and rats and food left over and all of this mold and different things, all of these senses welling up inside of him. Guys, he wasn't out in Rochdale Baptist Church where we have the freedom to sit on our pews amongst our brethren. He was alone. Literally, the gospel that he had preached to the Gentiles and the Jews now had imprisoned him to where he was alone in a dungeon, penning these things to Timothy, telling Timothy, "It's worth it. It's worth it. I have endured all things for the elect's sakes. It's worth it to me." Because I don't mean to be harsh, because I need this for myself. But how many of us can truly say that? That we would be willing to endure all things for the elect's sake? Are you willing to take a financial hit for the elect's sake? Are you willing to be made fun of for the elect's sake? Are you willing to be scoffed for the elect's sake? See, Paul was. He was unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see it in the letters he's penned. But this letter specifically is written to his son in the faith to encourage him, "Timothy, continue in the faith. Continue in the things that you've learned of me and commit them now to faithful men. That they might also do the things that I've committed. That they might know and are persuaded by him who we've put our faith in. You might continue the furtherance of the gospel." He's writing Timothy to encourage him, but he also wants to tell him some very important things here. Guys, Timothy is a young man. We know that by these letters that he says, let no man despise thy youth. We understand that Timothy is a young man. And as a young man, he's standing before a congregation telling them doctrine that literally is going against every bit of their sin, every bit of the things that they've been entangled with. And he's telling them, hey, do it anyways. Continue to commit these things to faithful men. Don't be ashamed. Don't let your youth hinder you. There are going to be people that oppose it because you're young. He says, continue. He says, be strong. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who also may be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Commit these things to faithful men. Endure hardness. Don't war for no reason. Sanctify the flesh. War against it. Then remember the resurrection. I want to take just a little bit, and guys, we'll get out of here soon, I promise. But I want this to be an encouragement to you. What is it that Paul is saying here? He says, I endure all things. See, Paul didn't choose certain things or certain hardships or certain inconveniences. He didn't choose convenient moments to preach the gospel. He endured all things, which means the beating, which means the hungers, which means the imprisonments and the rejection. But Paul accepted them as his calling. Guys, like I asked you, can you truly say that you can endure these things for the elect's sake? I want to call us out of our comfort level. I've always been one to do that. I believe you guys know me well enough to understand that truly this is for me too. But my encouragement is to call us out of our comfort zones. Get out of your house. Stop being so weak in the faith. And why can I say this, guys? Because you know just as well as I do that the God in which we serve is all powerful. He's all omniscient. He's all knowing. Guys, He created you for a sole purpose. And what was that sole purpose? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He brought you into this world and He sealed you. That's the other thing that we have to understand, lest we forget. Why can he say, I endure all things for the elect's sake? Guys, this is a doctrine that we skim over so often, but I want to assure you one thing, is that there is a people in which God is going to call. There is a people. There is an elect. From the foundation of the world, God, in his omnipotence, in his sovereignty, is going to call a certain people with the gospel. I'm sorry. I'm not him. But I can tell you that this is true because I see it written all over Scripture. That there will be some that deny it and go to hell. Let that be a burden. But guys, it's just the truth. There are going to be those that deny him. If you sit here this morning and you do not know Jesus, there's one of two possibilities. You're either a part of the elect or you're not. I'm not the one who makes that decision. I'm just the one that needs to be faithful to preach to those that might possibly be a part of that election. Imagine this for a second. This brought joy to my heart whenever I considered this and realized exactly what it is that God has called us to do. Guys, He hasn't called us to go out and just to preach and to preach and to preach until we're blue in the face. He's given us a commission to take to His elect that they might hear the gospel of their salvation. You guys can be the catalyst in which God uses to bring the gospel to those that He have chosen before the foundation of the world to accept His Son, Jesus Christ. They just have yet to hear it. They've yet to hear it. And yet He's given us the privilege to carry it. And then He gives us the power to preach it. None of this is done because of you and I. Understand that. But he's given us opportunity to be a part of the fruit. Guys, I am so tired of hierarchy. I'm so tired of everybody thinking they're important. I'm so tired of everybody thinking that because you have this job or that job or from this family or that family that you're something. I don't mean to be mean with this, but it's exhausting to me. Because you know what I see in Scripture? I see the Apostle Paul. He was literally a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the top of the echelon. He had commissioned himself to go persecute the church. Everyone loved him. They loved him. Until Jesus saved him, and then they hated him. He didn't fit in anymore. Can I tell you something? Take this exactly like I say it. If you fit into this world, there's a really large possibility that you're not his. We don't fit in. We just don't. We don't. You're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You can't go and tell somebody homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord without them wanting to literally gnash on you with their teeth. You can't. You can't live in this world and be accepted by this world and be accepted by God. They don't co-align. They don't. Guys, we went to Hudson's football in his photos yesterday, and they do like a Cougar Nation photo where they put all the football teams flag all the way up to varsity in the bleachers with all the coaches, and they take pictures. And then he had the scrimmage and all this stuff afterwards. And a lot of these kids are the children with the people I went to school with now. That's the children. Hudson's playing with a lot of guys, boys, that I played with in school. And I'm sitting there, and I'm you know me, I'm friendly. I love people. But I'm sitting there on the bleachers, Hudson's up, and I notice even in Hudson, like there's times that like he's just to himself. And I'm sitting there on the bleachers, and I'm looking around, and guys, I said this to myself. I said, this isn't my community. I don't fit in here anymore. And I went home and I told Chelsea, I was like, I don't fit in here. And she's like, duh. But you know what I told her? I said, they're not my church family. They're not my church. I know that I can come to you guys no matter what, and you'll love me. I know that I can come to you guys with burdens and you'll lift my arms up because you've done it. I know. That's not my community. It's here. This is where I fit in. This is it. It used to not be that way for me. Until God got a hold of my heart and I realized how precious this is. This, the 25 of you, you're it. And you're each other's. Do you understand? But guys, this church isn't everything. Because guess what we still have to do? Guys, if we're not doing anything outside of these walls, we have failed. I'm sorry. There's not going to be reward for you. But guys, we have the privilege to carry the gospel to God's elect. What joy! What excitement that should bring! Literally, the God of creation, the one that knows all things from the beginning to the end, we can go to Him with prayer and supplication. We can literally go to Him with our burdens, and He hears us and He draws near to us whenever we draw near to Him, and He doesn't turn us away. He says we can come with boldness. These are just reminders of Scripture you guys already know, but understand this. Let this settle deep in your soul. That literally the one that created us has called us into His presence, and that He's given us a commission with all power. It's nothing of ours. And then He says, listen, there's a multitude of people that still haven't heard the gospel of their salvation. Now go. And then He gives us everything to do it. Wow. Wow. See, Paul was not motivated by the fame or the money or the earthly comfort. The reward he sought was that others might obtain salvation. That they might hear the salvation of their souls. He understood what was at stake, that there was either eternal life or eternal separation from God. And that reality is what burdened him to move forward. The reality of that is what allowed him to say, all of these things I count but dung. Do you understand? He literally gave up everything for the gospel. Guys, have we come into that close of proximity with the Lord Jesus that I can literally say, it's all yours. It's all yours. I'm so tired of it being mine because I mess it up. I fumble it. Remember Kevin one time, whenever he was with Watchmen, he called me and he was supposed to meet a lady at the office. And he called me, he's like, brother, I fumbled the bag. Which means she went with another company, but it's all right. Brother, I do that all the time. I do it all the time. If I try to do it on my own, I fumble the bag. Like, when are we going to truly get to a place where we go, it's yours? Every bit of it is yours. Man, I don't know. Are you guys moved like I am? Because really, we say it. Where's the action? Are we doing it? Because we have revival coming up next week. Are we going to be revived? Or is it going to be the same old, same old? I can tell you one thing for certain for me. I don't want to stay the same. You want to know why? Listen to what he says at the end of that verse. To obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. With eternal glory. Guys, we get so distracted with this world. We think this is important. No. The only importance about this life right now is that we might gain reward. And that we might bring our family with us. That's the only thing that's important. Lose your job. And guess what? You're not going to beg bread. I promise you, because he says it. He says it. Why is it that Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread? We have to have this nest egg build up. We have to have all this money and all this notoriety and all these things. For what? Distraction. Guys, it's super easy for me whenever I get home to go sit in front of my television instead of discipling my children. For what? There's eternal glory. He's going to glorify you. Oh, you sinners? You're going to receive glory. Do you, are you getting that? He's going to give you glory. See, this wasn't just meant for the apostles alone. It's meant for every believer. This pattern of life is meant for the Christian. Paul is just an example. What did Jesus do? I lay down my life. What does Paul say in Romans? Give thyself a living sacrifice. What does it say in Colossians? Seek not those things. Set thy affection on things above. Why are we reminded over and over and over and over again that the things here are going to burn up? They're going to rust. Moth's going to eat it. Let it encourage you, brothers and sisters, that we serve things eternally. That this is going to burn. It's going to perish. We're going to rot in the ground until we're called to glory. Until that day of resurrection. And then we're going to see our Savior face to face. The fullness of our faith. Where faith will be turned to sight. And then we'll not have to deal with this flesh and immortality, our mortality anymore. But that we'll once for all be immortal and eternal and glorified because of Jesus. Not because of Matthew Gurney. But because Jesus, on a Wednesday night, pricked my heart and brought me to salvation on a back pew at Rochdale Baptist Church in a group of about 70 Christians that then became my brothers and sisters in Christ and encouraged me through some of the darkest, hardest moments of my life. And I get to stand before Him with you and sing praises because He's worthy of them. With you. You're it. Guess what I want to do now for the rest of my life? I want to go tell others. I want to be the one that God uses. That others, God's elect, might hear the gospel of their salvation. I tell you always about the man named Stephen at Freebird that was a drug addict, addicted to Xanax and alcohol. And his mother, who was a Catholic, literally preached to him out of Ephesians chapter 2 until he was 10 years old whenever he pulled her body out of a car at 10 years old. And literally from there, his drug addiction took over. Until a moment whenever God called some hillbilly from Rochdale, Indiana to go to Freebirds where he had a friend the night before get him a pizza in a hotel room who was a Christian and shared the gospel with him. And he wasn't sober enough to understand it, but God put me in front of him. And he said, go to Ephesians 2. That's where my mother always was. And my pastor literally that week had just preached on it, where God literally circumcises the heart. That is not of anything that we can do, but it's by grace through faith. And I was able to share that with him. And the man accepted Christ in front of me. And he literally said, there's something here. And at the time, I was such a new believer, I didn't understand it, but it was the Holy Spirit of God literally sealing this man for eternity. And I got to be a catalyst to that. And it brings me joy to know that one day, even though I'd only seen Stephen one other time after that, and he prayed the sweetest prayer I'd ever heard, but there's a time that I'm going to literally get to go with him into the presence of God. Because God saved him by using a man like me to teach him Ephesians 2 that my pastor had just taught me the week before. Guys, what do you think Awana is? What do you think Vacation Bible School is? He didn't just talk about sacrifice, he lived it. I'm so tired of talk. I don't know if you can tell. Hold me accountable. Stop letting me fall away. Be my brothers and sisters. And I'll do the same for you. stop it. Let's really do this. Like, really do this. He took criticism for Christ's sake. The question is, are we willing to? Are we willing to be made fun of? Are we willing to suffer persecution? Guys, we live in the freest country in the world. What are they going to do? Kill you? And then what? To live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't want to die. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, that's the end. So be it. That's what Paul's saying here. He's like, listen, like, I have the best yet to come. Like, who cares if they take my life? Because I get to see the fruition of all of this right before me. Every tear, every sacrifice, every misunderstood moment will be worth it when we see the souls that God has allowed us to reach. That's my desire. Again, not everybody is called to evangelism. I understand it. But at the same time, everybody's called to evangelism. Does that make sense? Not everybody's going to stand behind a pulpit and preach. But guys, you have the Spirit of God in you. Literally, what did they do? Jesus saved him. What did they do? They went and told everyone. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I lost that zeal. I'm sorry. For your sake. Because I saw what God did in your guys' life after he saved me with Brother Seth, with all the ministries, all the things that were happening. He was encouraging the brethren. I understand, Miss Faye, Brother Brian, what you guys endured in this church for so many years. I'm sorry that I let that zeal go. I'm sorry. Hold me accountable, please. And I'll do the same for you. Let's really do it. It's my encouragement. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Lord, I do pray that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, Lord, that this world just, even now, this message, Lord, I pray you would guard us by the blood of Jesus, that the enemy wouldn't have any place, that the seed wouldn't be stolen. But Father, you would grow and you would bear fruit for your glory. Father, for the youngest here to the oldest here, I pray that they know that their time is not done. If they still have breath in their lungs, then they can preach the gospel. Give them boldness. Give them understanding. Help them, Lord, to know whose they are. That literally the God of creation has endowed them with the Holy Spirit. What a privilege it is to be a vessel unto honor. Lord, it's the thing I didn't get to, but that you have called us to be vessels unto honor. I pray you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen.